morning, family. How are you this morning? There we go. God is great and greatly to be praised. Amen. If we could just raise our hands to heaven and begin to invite the Holy Spirit in. Let him make his way in this morning because he is worthy. Let him move upon you this morning. Let the power and the presence of God Almighty flow over you. Let us come this morning and begin to forget about everything else that's around us and remember that it is about God. It's a time where we come together and we corporately bless our Savior this morning, not for what he has done, but for who he is. Amen. Come on, church. Come on, church. Begin to let the praise of God ring out of your mouth this morning. Begin to bless him. Father, we just thank you and we praise you. We invite your Holy Spirit in this morning to have his way, that we would give you glory and honor, and we would be moved by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
To see you are glorious.
church. Shout it out. Glorious. Make it loud.
Jesus, we shout your name. Jesus, we make your way.
Yes, amen. Oh, yeah, yes. There's a miracle in this room. And it's got my name. It's got my name on it. I said there's a healing in this room. Oh, and it's here for me. There's a breakthrough in this room with my name on it. I'm gonna put a praise on it. I'm gonna put a praise on it. Now, church, I said there's a miracle in this room, and it's got David's name on it. There's miracles in this room, and you need to put your name on it this morning. Come on. There's a healing in this room, and it's here for me. There's a break.
What are you going to do this morning? I said, what are you going to do this morning? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a praise on it.
Praise on your miracle this morning. If you need a miracle already this morning, it is here for you. All you have to do is bless God for it. Come on, sing.
There's a miracle in this room with my name on it. There's a healing in this room, and it's before me. There's a breakthrough in this room with my name on it.
So what you gonna do?
Gonna put a praise on it. I'm gonna put a praise on it.
Come on, let's go to the top. There's a miracle.
There's a miracle in this room with my name on it.
Yes, there is.
There's a healing in this room.
It's got my name
on it.
Yeah.
There's a breakthrough in this room. I'm gonna put a praise on it. I'm gonna put a praise on it.
I said, what are you gonna do this morning?
I'm gonna put a praise
on
it.
Come on now. I gotta praise this morning.
praise him this morning. I'm gonna. Come on, church. Come on. You got praise in you this morning? Come on. Let's sing it.
I'm gonna put a praise on it.
Body this morning. I got praise.
I'm gonna put a praise on it.
I said, what are you gonna do this morning? You gotta put a praise
I'm
on it.
Gonna put a praise
you gotta
on
put a praise
it.
On your healing this morning. You gotta put a praise
I'm
on your miracle.
Put a praise on
yes.
It.
Come on, sing it. Come on.
I'm gonna put a praise on it.
Here we go.
I'm gonna put a praise.
Come on, here we go. I'm gonna put a praise.
I'm gonna put a praise.
What you gonna
on
do
it.
This morning? I'm gonna put a praise on it this morning.
I'm gonna put a praise on it.
Sing it again. I'm gonna put that praise on.
I'm gonna put a praise on it.
I'm gonna put a praise on it.
Yeah, I'm gonna put a praise on it. Come on, church. You can't stop when the music stops. You got to keep the praise going. I've been set free. I've been set free from things that I've been bound up with for a long time. And if you're here this morning and you're saying, well, I'm not set free, you got to begin to speak that. The Bible says to call those things that are not as though they were. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell every crossing. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought
I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell.
You could have my church. You thought I was worth it. You thought I was worth it.
So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
So I can be free. So I can be whole. So I can tell everyone I know. Hallelujah. Glory to the God who changed my life. And I will praise you forever.
I worship you
forever.
Hallelujah. This week, as I was listening to this song, I was thinking about the different times throughout Scripture when sacrifice was offered up. The first one I thought about was when the prophet went before the ungodly prophets of Baal, and it hadn't rained, and I thought about that whole time in Scripture when the sacrifice was laid on the altar, but there was no fire. And not only was there no fire, but the sacrifice was drowned with water, so that the little canal around the altar was filled with water. And how the prophet looked out and he saw
a cloud about the size of a man's hand. And it began to get bigger. And God rained down fire from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. And it began to rain. Many of us are here this morning. And we're going, God, I need you to rain upon my life. And we can't seem to figure out why he is not reigning in our life. And I just feel that as we sing this song, we need to realize that we have to come to a place where it is self-sacrifice. And I have to be honest with you, it's easy for me to stand here and tell you that, but when I personally have to go through self-sacrifice, it is not easy. And Paul said, I have to learn to die daily. So sometimes we got to learn to go, God, I die daily. You provide the fire. And I'll provide the sacrifice. You provide the Spirit. And I will open up inside.
Come on, sing it like the singers.
You provide the fire. Spirit, and I will open up inside.
Let's sing it one more time.
You provide the fire, and I'll provide the sacrifice. You provide the Spirit, and I will open up inside. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up.
Come on, sing.
Yes, amen. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill
Say it again. I need you to fill me up.
Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill
Say it again. Fill me up.
Yeah.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, this morning we can only ask that God, we get filled up with your spirit. We get filled up with your strength. We get filled up, God, so full that God, when we leave this place today, we are transformed, we are renewed, we are changed because of your name, Jesus. Because of your passion, Jesus. Because of your anointing, Lord. Father. Lord, I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that today is not just another day. It's not just another Sunday that we come here and say, we've been to church. Father, I believe that God, you desire for us to have such a passion and a desire for you. Lord, if we open up in the mailbox tomorrow morning and there's an envelope and it says that you just won $1 million. Father, I believe that many of us will be dancing and singing and rejoicing. But Lord, do we do it to you? Do we do it for you, God? Because you're the great I am. You're the Alpha and the Omega. You are the beginning and the end. There's none like you. There never will be. There never was. And Jesus, today, Lord God, Father, I'm asking you, Lord, as we pray, as we sing, as we declare, fill me up. Fill me up. That, Lord God, when we go to the mailbox and there's nothing there, we still can declare that we're filled. We can still declare that we have your anointing, that we have you, Jesus. So let's sing that again. Let's sing that again.
Fill me up.
say amen. Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah.
We're not here to play church. We're here to worship our King. We're here to worship our God, our Abba Father, our Daddy, Jesus. Fill us, God. Fill us so full, God, today. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Right now, in the name of Jesus. You on live stream. Wherever you are, lift up your hands right now. For the anointing is in this place. The anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage. Raise up those hands. Raise up them hands. He is here. He is with you on live stream. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak and declare that no devil in hell can keep us from the love of Jesus. I decree and declare that no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. I decree and declare, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Lord, in the name of Jesus, fill us up, Lord God. Fill us up, Father. Fill us up with your anointing. Let us overflow. Let us overflow. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Call up about that name, Jesus. That name that is above every name. Jesus. Father, we're nothing without you. No matter what we think, no matter it is what we see or feel, we are nothing without you. We'll never be the same without you. Lord, I thank you, God. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you for filling us up. Speak that anointing. I speak that anointing. Jesus. 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 It's all about you, Lord. It's all about you, Jesus. We're here because of you. Father, what you brought us out of, what you delivered us from, the forgiveness that you've given us, the blood that you've cleansed us with, the cross that you sacrificed, your life, because you saw us. Jesus, today we are yours. Our lives are yours. We thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Say that out loud. Thank you, Jesus. Say it again. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, when we declare the name of Jesus, even devils must flee. When we declare the name of Jesus, every disease has to flee. When we declare the name of Jesus, sickness has to go. That means flu has to leave in Jesus' name. That means common cold has to leave in Jesus' name. That means pneumonia has to leave at the name of Jesus. Whatever it is that you came in here with, just declare the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. If you didn't come in here with anybody, anything, but you know somebody that has something, that they're sick, they're diseased, you could stand in the gap and you could declare the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give you thanks and honor and glory, Father. We thank you, God, for you are the great I am. And Jesus, we worship you today. Hallelujah. And everybody say, amen. Listen, we're family in here today, right? We're a family church, right? Yes? All right, so I'm going to expect that you're going to get out of your seat and you're going to go and hug on somebody, shake a few hands, go to somebody that you don't know. Because what? We're what? We're family. All right, go find somebody you don't know.
We are all the way down here in Campeche, Mexico, where it's very mucho frío. Okay,
no.
I'm lying. No, it's very
muy
hot. Yeah, it's hot. But we love you, and we are so glad this morning you're at His Tabernacle Family Church, and we are preaching in Campeche this morning, and we'll be home tomorrow morning. Rock solid faith, step one, make sure you're there. We love you. Have an excellent day. Say hello.
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 Pastor Patricio and his beautiful wife and
Claudia.
His son. Very good. We love you. We will see you in a little bit.
Love you.
I love you.
Family, I'm just here to remind you about the Uproar Talent Show coming up on February 10th. Tickets are $30 a piece. There will be a full dinner involved and an awesome bake auction. Make sure you show up at 6 for couples portraits, and you might be able to win a prize for the Best Dressed Couples Award. Remember, February 10th, 6 o'clock, sign up in the foyer. I hope to see you there.
His Tabernacle, I am back again. You have a talent? Dancing, singing, acting, sound or audio visual. Listen, if you have these talents, I want you to meet us here on February 25th at 10 a.m. For more information on how to prepare yourself, hit me at Pastor Johnson at histabernacle.com.
Good morning, HT. Oh, come on now. Seriously, we had an awesome worship service, and you guys should be more excited than that. Good morning, His Tabernacle. There you go. There you go. We want to welcome the guests first and foremost this morning. If you are a first-time guest, we are not going to embarrass you. Okay, I won't do that to you. But we want to get you a packet. We have a gift for you. We got some information we want to put in your hands. So if you are a first-time guest in the house, if you could just slide your hand up so that way our team can get to you. We got some hands going up around some places if we can get to them. Awesome, awesome. If you brought a guest and maybe they're not raising their hand, maybe you can raise yours. All right, so listen, we're getting you a gift. We got some hands right here in the front. Awesome, awesome. So listen, right after the service, we have a guest reception right over here. If you go out these doors in the back to your left and down the hallway on the other side of this wall here, we have a guest reception where we want you to meet the pastoral staff and leadership team here at His Tabernacle. And there's inside of your packet, there's actually a gold ticket that gets you access. We like access, right? Access. All right, we're not watching a movie, though. All right, so also live stream. We want to welcome all the live stream. Can we give the live stream a round of applause, please? Good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us. You're going to be blessed this morning, and we thank you for joining us live on live stream. You have seen different things about next steps. I know we've talked about it. We describe what we have. So we just want to, again, remind everyone, next steps is every single week. So everybody say every single week. Next step. Step one is rock solid faith. Who's in rock solid faith? Wow. All right. Who's been through rock solid faith? There we go. All right, listen, so Rock Solid Faith happens every Tuesday, 7 p.m., every Wednesday morning at 9 a.m., and every Thursday night at 6 p.m. We also have, somebody goes to that class. We also have step two with Faith and Finances. Who's in that class? Amen, amen. That's with Sister Carla down here. She's the loudest. And so we have that happening. So that's every Tuesday night, 7 p.m., Faith and Finances. That's where you can learn the principles of the word on your finances. Amen? All right. We also saw Uproar Talent Show. That is going to be next Friday, or I should say this coming Friday. We got a yo over here. Woo! So that is this coming Friday. There are tickets still available. Men, if you don't have anything going on Friday night, I don't care if you got kids. I'm getting rid of mine. Take your lady out on a date. I don't mean get rid of them. I'm not shipping them off or anything. All right, I got somebody watching them. I'm being legit here. But, men, seriously, though, take your wife out on a date, okay? If you haven't got a ticket, get a ticket. Go see Mackenzie Coe. She's the loudest one over here. You'll find her. All right, then next weekend, next Sunday, February 12th, we got the Rock Solid Faith graduation. Rock Solid Faith graduation is an amazing time. I remember graduating back in 2004. And listen, the prophetic word that you get at this graduation is intense and amazing. So I want to encourage you, if you have gone through Rock Solid Faith at the Hub right after service out in the foyer, you want to sign up to graduate. We still have more spaces available. So make sure you sign up if you've been through that class. That, again, is next Sunday evening. And the last thing we have also is Empowering Pastors Leadership Summit. That's going to be March 20th through the 22nd. That's coming up quickly. If you have any questions, please see Pastor Obi. Pastor Obi, please stand up. Or, yeah. You can also get sign up online at empoweringpastorsummit.com. Amen? I think that's it. Do you guys want any more information? If you do, go to the Hub. Pastor Code Chad. Wow.
It's okay, guys. I'm Pastor Cody. It's common. Several of you still call me Pastor Cody. I still love you, though, and forgive you. Good morning, guys. I'm so excited to be here. This is one of the most exciting parts of the service for me because I love to give. You see, when you connect with Jesus, there's just something amazing that happens, and this is why this year is such a special year, because it's the year of the generous church. When you truly connect with God, you become generous. You can't argue that. It just happens. So how many of you guys know that it's a commandment from God that we tithe? All right. And that's awesome because I heard some cheering. And, you know, this is like a miracle just in this moment. So if you could just turn to Malachi 3:10 real quick. and everybody knows this. I'm just going to read it for you real quick. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of Heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great that you don't have enough room to take it in. Try me in this. Put me to the test. Okay, so that's just like my baseline. So if you want to argue with me that tithes aren't for today, you know, there's my scriptures, all right? And so how many of you guys know that there are awesome examples for us in the Word of God? If you can, turn to 2 Kings chapters 4. And we're just going to summarize this section. But Christianity is so much more than a religion, a Sunday-to-Sunday thing. It's a lifestyle. How many of you guys know that when you change your lifestyle, you start to get the lifestyle of God and the promises of God? All right? And so this woman, they just call her the Shunammite woman. She saw Elisha walking around and she kept seeing him. And the Lord must have spoken to her and said, you know, this is a prophet. I want you to do this for him. So what she did is she actually changed her lifestyle. She said, I'm going to build an addition on my house. I'm going to put a bed in there. I'm going to put a table in there. I'm going to put a chair in there and a lamp. And I'm going to make sure that he's set and fed and taken care of. You see, oftentimes changing your lifestyle requires sacrifice. But when you're obedient to the word of God, you will always receive favor in your life. You see, everybody always focuses on just the first testimony of the Shunammite woman. She received one of the greatest blessings you could ever receive, which is a child. You see, I mean, I'm not ready for that quite yet, but I'm sure for other people, that's like the greatest blessing that they could receive. My wife's about to kick me right now, you know, so it's good that I'm up here. And so what happened was God always delivers. God is always consistent to his word. You see, he asks you to change your lifestyle and tithe. He asks you to give that 10%, bare minimum. And so when we do that, we are obedient to God's word and we open up the opportunity for blessing. What did the Bible say right then? He said, I will pour you out a blessing. That there won't be room enough to receive, so that it will be overflowing, that it'll be abundant. And then you know what's so crazy? There's another scripture in Luke, and it says, give and you shall receive. Pressed down, shaken together, will man pour unto your bosom. So when you're obedient to God's word, not only is God going to bless you, but he'll also organize people in your life to bless you. That's a double-edged. That is going to get you favor in your life. You see, this woman didn't just receive a child. When you continue to read on, actually there was a famine that was coming in the land. And since Elisha had built that relationship, since she made that lifestyle change and decided to make a sacrifice for the man of God, she then got the warning and he came and told her, listen, there's going to be a famine for 7 years in this land. You should move. So she actually moved. And then which protected her from this famine. So then, a few years later, 7 years later, she comes back. And it just so happens that, you know, maybe coincidentally, I highly doubt it. I'm pretty sure it was organized by God. But when she came back to the king to reclaim her land that she had left, not only did God give her the land, but he placed Gehazi, who was Elisha's assistant, in that room. And he was just testifying to the king about the boy that she had. So not only did she get a boy, but she was protected from famine. See, when you change your lifestyle is going to be protected by the favor of God. Your lifestyle is not going to be hindered by the economic status of your area. You see, when he came, and then not only did she get her land back and then some, she also got the 7 years worth of crops reimbursed to her. So whatever the devil may have stolen from you over that past famine years, God has a promise for you that it will be reimbursed to you in full. So God has a promise, and he is always obedient to his word. So if you're with me, you can grab your offering envelope. If you don't have an offering envelope, the ushers have some. You can just lift up your hands. But I want to promise you guys one thing. When you change your lifestyle for God, you will never lack in your life again. her life would look out for years to come. Not just that one testimony, not just that one thing, but a lifetime of blessing and favor that was chasing her down. So if you're with me and you're saying, man, I want this blessing on my life. I want this favor on my life. I have some reimbursement that's due to me today. You see, if you're with me, I want you to lift up your offering envelope. I want you to stand up with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you honor your word. Lord, and that obedience propels your vision. Lord, that obedience protects the person that's giving. Father, I pray that it's not about an amount, but it's about the heart. So, Lord, we speak to the hearts of your people. We say, Lord, make this so real to them. Let this lifestyle begin to change. And I want to challenge anybody that's been here and they haven't given. You've never taken that step of faith. You've never said, man, I need to become obedient. I need to change my lifestyle. Trust me, there's testimonies that go before you. See what God has done in their lives. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So if you're with me and you believe, I want you to say a supernatural declaration. Say this with me. I am blessed going in. I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings are going to chase me down. They're going to trip me up. Because I am a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord this morning with your offerings.
Let's give our worship team a hand clap this morning. Aren't they good? Every morning, or every Sunday morning, leading us into the presence of Jesus. Right now, I just want to take a moment and give honor where honor is due. And again, that is to our pastors. As you can see, where our pastors are not with us this morning, they are in Campeche, Mexico. And they are actually preparing the team down there for when we go down for the crusade through Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth in October. And we are already being blessed, and preparations being made even now. So we just want to pray for them real quick if we can. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking God that you're going to bless our pastors. Lord, we thank you, Father, for safe travels. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing and your protection. But God, in the name of Jesus, what you have designed within them, Lord, is being seeded right now into Mexico. That God, in the name of Jesus, just as we're here in Horseheads, New York, his tabernacle also is down in Mexico. So Father, we send forth your anointing and your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. So right now, some of you, a lot of you may not know, but we have another associate pastor within this church who is going to be, I usually we call them guest speakers, but she's been here since 1951. So actually, we've been only in operation since 1998. But she's been here since the beginning, and yours truly, myself, I wouldn't be here doing what I do if it wasn't for Pastor Shannon and her husband, Jeremy. They're the ones that sought my wife and myself out. They're the ones that gave us the wisdom, gave us the tools, and invited us to his Tabernacle Family Church, which you may have saw my little generosity challenge on Facebook. By the way, don't be afraid to get on Facebook and do a generosity challenge. Anyway, I'm not going to take any more time away from her because she's got an awesome message. She is a phenomenal teacher. And those of you that have Rock Solid Faith on Thursday night, you're blessed by her. So please welcome Pastor Shannon Palko.
Am I on yet? Hello, hello. Oh, there I am. Okay. Good morning. I am so excited to be here with you today. And I want to just take a minute to thank Pastor Spencer and Pastor Rhonda for giving me the opportunity to be able to preach from this pulpit. We have phenomenal preachers in this church. Can I get an amen? We have a great pastor who genuinely loves us and desires that for us to be grown up in Jesus. Turn to somebody next to you and say, grow up. I just like to do that because it's fun. And I think the spouses are often looking for opportunities to say that to one another. So today, the word that I have for you is powerful. And I believe that it is a rhema word. A rhema word means that it was meant for this time and this place. And when you look back in the Old Testament, you will see that there were times that prophets were brought to kings. And the prophets would give the king a call to action. Now, there are some messages that are meant for encouragement. There are other messages that are meant for teaching. And then there are messages that are meant for a call to action. And I'm telling you today that this message is a call to action for your life. So I did this thing when I taught elementary school for 13 years. We did a my job, your job. Now, oftentimes, we think that when we come to church, it's the preacher's job to minister a message that really moves us, and we feel really good about that message, and we've gotten fed for the week, and we go on out about the rest of our lives. But actually, there's a my job, your job on a Sunday morning. My job is to make sure that I preach the word to the best of the ability that God has given me, that I bring him the glory, and that I allow the Holy Spirit to move through me. Your job is to position yourself to receive the word that God has given. So I want you to just take a minute. Did you come here expecting today? Because if you came here expecting nothing, then I'm going to tell you you're going to leave here expecting nothing for except the Patriots or the Falcons to win the Super Bowl, okay? I'm praying that you came here expecting for God to change you and transform you in such a mighty way that even when you walk out of this place, that your entire countenance, your look is different. I'm praying that God wrecks you in such a mighty way that you are completely different. And if that's your heart this morning, then I'm going to ask you to turn to the person next to you and say, I'm going to be changed today. That's right, change and transformation. It is not worth, I'm just going to be really honest with you, it is not worth coming to church to come in one way and leave another. And that's not God's plan for your life either. He wants us to come in one way, be changed and transformed by the renewing of the word, and to leave a completely different person. So I'm going to ask you right now to open yourselves up to allow the word that is spoken today to have the authority and the power that it was equipped to have in your life and to change you and transform you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is not my service. This is not his tabernacle service. This is your service. This is not my word. This is not meant to glorify anyone but you. So Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. Change us. Transform us. Do whatever you need to do, Jesus, to have your way in this place. Father, our goal is to honor you with our life, with everything that we commit ourselves to. So in this moment, this rhema, for this time and this place, we give this to you. This is our sacrifice to you, Lord, this time. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for already being present in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe already that the Holy Spirit has already been calling some of you to action. Even in the midst of worship, you were feeling the pull of the Holy Spirit on your life. And all I have to say to you is get ready, because God is going to be powerful in this moment. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about compromise. I was looking up the definition of compromise, and the first definition says that compromise occurs when there is a disagreement. Two sides both make concessions to come to a place of agreement. The second part of that verse, can you tell I'm a Christian? The second part of that verse? The second part of that definition says when one settles for less than what was desired. Now, sometimes compromise is good. Can I get an amen from husbands to wives, right? Sometimes compromise is good. But sometimes compromise is bad. It is not a good thing to compromise certain things. There was this man who wanted a boat. And he would talk about this boat day in and day out. He would talk about what this boat looked like. He would talk about how big it's going to be. He would talk about all the fun things that they're going to do on this boat. The people that would come and spend time on that boat. And he asked his wife every day, can I get a boat? And she'd say, nope. And he'd say, can I get a boat? She'd say, I don't think so. And then he'd say, I really want a boat. Can I get a boat? And she was not to be moved. He was not getting a boat. Well, that man did something very dangerous. He went out and he got a boat. I don't know about you guys, but I'd be a little scared. He came back. His wife found out that he got a boat. She was really angry. And he said to her, don't worry, honey, it's okay. In the spirit of compromise, I'll let you name the boat. Well, she's a good sport. So she said, okay. Now, wives, you know what's coming, right? So the day of the maiden voyage comes. He's so excited, walks up to that boat, and he sees the name that she named it, For Sale. Sometimes compromise is not a good thing. Can I get an amen? The issue is that today in the American church, compromise has permeated who we are. We have been inoculated with a plague, church. It's called compromise. If we look at studies that have been done regarding the American church, we will see that oftentimes Christians, see my quotation marks? Christians, they don't look any better than the world does. They don't act any different. They do not speak any differently. They do not walk any differently. They participate in the same activities that the world does. There was an original study that you've probably heard before. It said that 50% of Christian marriages end in divorce, which is exactly the same percentage of those marriages for non-Christians. Crazy, right? But someone in a news study thought, well, that's a pretty wide definition of Christianity. The definition of Christianity that they used for that actual study was anyone who holds the belief system of Christianity, anyone who identifies themselves as a Christian. Well, I'm here to tell you that the label Christian is not supposed to be something that you identify with. If you identify with Christianity, it's pretty much the same thing as identifying with a Republican Party or a Democratic Party. But if you truly, truly are committed to living a lifestyle of Christ and being engaged in a lifestyle of Christianity, that's what the definition of a Christian truly is meant to be. So then a new researcher came in and he narrowed the definition down to those that are truly engaged in a lifestyle for Christ. And it's really interesting because he found that truly those marriages of Christians that are absolutely engaged in their faith and that go to church regularly have 27 to 50% less chance than the church, less actual occurrence than the non-believers of getting a divorce. 27 to 50%. And you know what the real kicker is? Those that are Christians, that identify themselves as Christians, they have a 20% higher chance of getting a divorce than the general public. Ooh, it doesn't pay to play Jesus, does it? It does not pay to play Christianity. See, there's so many compromises that we've made in our walk with Jesus Christ that we are truly even ruining the great lifestyle that God has for us. It's really interesting because those that identify as Christ, they're referred to in research as nominal Christians. And what's really important for us to understand is that there is nothing nominal about Christianity. You were never created in Christ to be nominal, mediocre, average. You were only created in Christ to be powerful, to be a world changer, to bring the supernatural power of Jesus Christ with you everywhere you go. That every time you speak the word of Christ, lives are changed, demons tremble, the sick are healed, the captives are set free, the lost are found. Every word that you speak on behalf of Jesus Christ as a Christian walking in the anointing and the power under the mantle that has been given to you through Jesus Christ, everything that you speak will bring the fire of the Holy Spirit upon every situation that your hand touches. Now, that's not being nominal to me. That's not being mediocre, and that's not average. But the word will tell you that we want to blend in. We want to be tolerant of other faiths. We want to be politically correct. I don't see any of those words in the Bible. None. We are not called to be a church that settles for the status quo. We are called to be the church that sets the status quo. We are not called to be people of this world, but instead, we have been called to be foreigners and aliens, the Bible refers to us as, in a strange land. We have been called to occupy until he comes, not participate until he comes. So we need to be a people that are not living like the world. Did you know that 65% of altar-bound singles live with each other before they get married? 65%, and many of them are Christians, people who identify themselves as Christ. And they use terms like this, even the Christians. And I'm just saying, I told you, there are some sermons that are meant to encourage, and there are some sermons that are meant to be fluffy and rainbows and sunshine, but this is not that. This is a rhema word where God is calling for change in our lives. God is pointing out the things in our life that we can no longer compromise on. So 65% of those altar-bound singles live with one another. They say things like, we have to face certain realities. It's the 21st century. Marriage is like a car. You got to test it out before you buy it. Last time I checked, I am not a car. All right? I think that's insulting to the person that you're with. We're going to get married eventually, so it makes it okay. What difference does a certificate really make? It's just a piece of paper. How many of you have heard this from Christians? Let me see. Absolutely, many of us had. I'm not going to ask you to do this, but some of us have said it ourselves. Yeah, absolutely. Sometimes we hear rationalizations like, we're just older, we're more mature. or I've been divorced before, and I'm not ready to step into that kind of a marriage again. Maybe you've heard, I'm not ready financially, or it's okay because we're not sexually involved. Yeah, it's okay to put you in the devil's lair of temptation. Go for it. Mm-hmm. We hear oftentimes, well, we're providing for our child, or we're benefiting from the tax benefits. Here is my favorite one. Ready? Everybody's doing it. Even Christians are doing it. Yep. Then we hear people say, well, I think that God understands my situation. Well, God did not say in the Word of God. Let's look just at Galatians. Let's look at Galatians 5:19 really quickly. It says that the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. That's the verse. Listen, this word sexual immorality here, the Greek word for that is porneia, which means pornography. The word pornography, okay, so your sexual acts are equal to pornography. So if you are not living as Christ would ask you to live sexually, then you are practicing pornography. Just a hello, okay? Hello, okay? But beyond that, the word pornography actually means truly unlawful lust. So if you are not married legally, lawfully, and you are having sex outside of the realm of that institution with the piece of paper, married by a pastor or a judge, certified, stamped, sealed, and delivered. Let me be really clear here. Now we're married in our hearts. Not God understands my situation. But unless you are really, truly married by the law, right? Unless you're really, truly married by the law, then you are participating in fornication. And it is not lawful. Now, that verse does not say, again, Galatians 5:19. It does not say the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. And then Jesus added a disclaimer that said, unless God knows your situation. Or unless you're just really trying to get a tax benefit. Or unless you're parents that are providing for a child. I don't know about you, but the last time I checked, my God was the author and the perfecter of my faith. He's the one who hung the stars in the sky, and he calls them by name. Last time I checked, my God knew the numbers of hair that I had on my head, and he thinks about me as many times a day as there are sands on the shore. Your God loves you. Your God cares about you. You do not have to be worried that that man or that woman is going to leave you if you don't live with them. And if they do, good riddance, because they weren't the best for you anyway. We've become soft in the church today. We're afraid to preach the word of God. We're afraid to preach against sin in the church today. We are afraid to push people to bring change in their life, to encourage them to seek discipleship. Do you know discipleship means discipline? We're so undisciplined in our lifestyle, we can't even get up for work. Do you know that it honors God if you get up for work and you show up on time and if you do your job with excellence? The word tells us that we need to commit all of our ways to him. It's not that we are perfect. It's that we endeavor to bring God glory in everything that we do. Everything that we do. Don't you think he deserves all of you? We need to make a decision as a church that I'm going to be all in. It doesn't matter what I did this morning. It doesn't matter what I did tonight. But from this point forward, Jesus, I am all in. Turn to somebody next to you and say, I am all in. And if you're not, don't say it, because you don't want to lie. Okay? So listen, here's what you need to know. God will not compromise his word for you. He will not, because for God to compromise his word for you, he would have to compromise his love for you. For God to compromise his word for you, he would have to compromise his best for your life. For God to compromise his word for you, he would have to compromise the design of your destiny. We're to be moved by the word, not by the world. I'm going to say that again. We are to be moved by the word, not by the world. The word, not the world. The word, not the world. I know. Ouch. Ouch, right? There are compromises in all of our lives that we make all the time. There's this tree in India, and it's called the banyan tree. Hello. Okay. What happens is there are birds in the air that drop a tiny seed onto a host tree. That seed, by the way, if it falls to the ground, it dies. But if it falls on a living thing, it has the ability to grow. So that seed is dropped onto this host tree, and it begins to take root. That's the banyan tree. This banyan tree, as it begins to take root, it wraps itself around the host tree like a web, netted around every fiber of that tree. And it infiltrates the root system in such a way that it literally strangles the life out of the host tree. All from a little tiny seed. And what happens is that host tree disintegrates, decays, and dies because that seed that produced the banyan tree, otherwise known as the strangler fig, crushes the life out of it. And there are compromises that we are making every day as Christians that seem like little small things, small seeds that begin to entangle and wrap us up in the world with such strength that it crushes the very life of our relationship with Jesus Christ out of us. It infiltrates the very foundations and the root systems of what we used to believe in Jesus Christ. It transforms and changes us through the power of its death. So we can say, oh, it's no big deal for me to watch that movie. I know that it's all fake. I can handle it. It's not a big deal for me to listen to that music. I know what the truth is. I can listen to it. It's not a big deal for me to read that book. Some books that you are reading, they're pornography. And I'm not talking about naughty magazines. Some of the movies you're watching, they might as well be rated X. Just because they have an R or a PG-13 doesn't mean that there's something you should be watching. And I know some of you are thinking, whoa, she's super saved. Yup, I am. Absolutely. And I love those who choose to be super saved. And I think it's ridiculous that not only is the world against those that are super saved, but the church is against those that are super saved. She takes that whole Jesus thing. I mean, I love Jesus too, but she takes that whole Jesus thing just a little far. She doesn't think that you should be able to do this or you should be able to do that. All I want to do is glorify God with everything that my hand touches. My whole worth, my value, my very being, my very breath is about bringing glory to Jesus Christ. That's what I was constructed to do. That's why I was created. That's why I'm standing in front of you today to bring God the glory in this word. And I'm praying that you will receive the word that I have for you today through the power of the Holy Spirit, because God wants to bring himself glory through your life. And you know, the cool thing, I was thinking about this with this football thing. I want you to know that today is my favorite day of the year. It's not because I love the Super Bowl. In fact, I hate football. It's because football's over. So everyone else is celebrating because their team is killing it. And I'm like, woohoo, football's over. Eat more food, okay? So I am all about Super Bowl being over. But one of the things that I love is that the owner of the team, he doesn't get any credit, right? But the players are the ones that get the credit. And if we live a life that's worthy of the call that God has given us according to the word of God, then our owner, Jesus Christ, your owner, because you were bought with his blood, he paid the price for you. You are no longer your own if you are a Christian. So I don't know why you're playing like you are, but you are no longer your own. So your owner is Jesus Christ, but he is so good in his love for us that he puts the glory right back on us. He shines the light right back on us. We can trust giving our absolute best to Christ because He'll just give it right back to us. He delights in us, the Bible says. He dances over us. He desires to be powerful in our life. But the problem with the church today is that we preach a watered-down gospel through our lifestyle, through our words and our actions, through our lack of discipline. And I'm not saying this to bring condemnation, but the Holy Spirit wants you to hear this to bring conviction, to bring change in your life. The end times are here. This is not a message that I just came up with from a book or the internet. I was reading in my devotions. I was studying the book of Exodus, which I'm going to get into in a minute. And I felt such an urgency in my spirit. I've been burdened for the church for months. Just the Lord saying to me, they need to wake up. Wake up. Recognize the signs and the times. Wake up. We cannot play Christianity anymore. We need to live Christianity. We need to be the essence of who Jesus Christ is in everything that we do. It's time. As Compromise says, it's time to choose a side. There is a battle going on. There is a disagreement in the first definition of compromise. It is a disagreement where there are two sides that make concessions to come to an agreement. There is a battle, but show me a place in the Word of God where it's okay to make concessions with the Word of God. There is nothing in the Word that gives you the privilege and the authority to make a concession with the devil. Come on. We are the ones that are to walk in victory and power. So we're not going to come to an agreement with the devil. We need to come into agreement with the Word of God in every part of our life. You know, as I said, it's the little seeds. It's the little things. They seem small, but they end up being huge in our life. And one little thing leads to another and leads to another and leads to another. And before you know it, there's nothing different about you than there is with the world. I can give, you know, it's really interesting because I can give you lots of examples in the Word of God where men and women that were biblical characters compromised. Adam and Eve. The devil said, you can eat that fruit. You will not surely die. Well, the devil's a liar. And they didn't die in their physical body, but they died in their spirit. And the devil is having a heyday telling some of us, it's okay to do that. You can drink and not get drunk. It's okay to do that. Because as long as you're not getting drunk, it's not against the Word of God. You can go to the bars as long as you're not drinking or doing anything you shouldn't do. You're not hurting anyone. I mean, we think that, oh, that was Adam and Eve. They were stupid for listening to that serpent. Well, we do it all day long. Sodom and Gomorrah, they were so awful and so messed up in their sexual immorality and their debauchery and their hate for Christ. They even wanted the angels that were sent to help Lot and his family to come out and have sex with them. Angels! All right, so this was a real serious situation. So because Abraham had begged for mercy for Lot and his family, angels were sent to save them before Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. And they're running out of the city, and fire is coming from the sky, and it's scorching up all of that sin. How many of you know that one day that those that don't get themselves right with Jesus, fire will come in hell? I'm just going to tell it how it is because we need to get serious about this. Fire will come. And so fire's coming down from the heavens, and that entire land is getting scorched to the place where grass does not actually grow there even today. This is not a Bible story that's just a fun story to tell your kids so that they do what they're supposed to do. This is truth. The grass does not grow there today. They're running from the city, and the angels tell Lot and his family, don't look back, don't look back. And the who is still drawn to the world turns around to look back. That world doesn't have anything for you that is worth looking back at. And God turned her to a pillar of salt. Later on, Lot's family, They led a lifestyle of compromise. They had to live in caves, Lot and his two daughters. And this is really disturbing. I'm just going to warn you. So Lot's daughters didn't have a man anywhere around that they could make babies with. And this was a big deal. So they connived this idea, this plot, that they would get Lot, their father, drunk. And that one of the daughters would go in and sleep with him that night so that she could get pregnant. And so they did that. He didn't even know what happened. The next day, the second daughter, they get him drunk again. The second daughter goes in and she sleeps with him just to get an heir. And we think, whoa, that's an abomination. I can't believe that they would do that. How disgusting. But don't we settle for whoever's around us when we feel like we need a man or a woman? Don't we settle for the quick fix? Do we not settle for what is easy and what is controllable? What things in the world are you compromising on because you are not willing to wait for God's best in your life? We need to be serious about this relationship with Jesus. What compromises are you making? Turn to somebody next to you and say, a lifestyle of compromise will compromise your lifestyle. Amen. Amen. I want you to take that with you. Take that with you, because what we've done is we have bowed down to the false prophets and the false teachers of pop culture. We're told to stay away from them. Run from the false prophets and the false teachers. But yet we participate with them every single day. Matthew 24, 10 through 12 says, and then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. Meaning the love of Christ, the love for him will grow cold. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 1 through 5. But understand this. Get it. So God's, but get it. That in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self. Lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. Where are my children? Right? Disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit. I love that. I think of that as a woman, pregnant with conceit. That's what you're birthing. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Listen, the church having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. We need to be saved, right? All of us, all over again. I need to be saved all over again. Why? Why is this so important? Because God desires to be in relationship with you. Because God longs for you. He wants you. And he doesn't want you to suffer from anything that the world has to offer. He wants his best for your life. It comes back to love. All of this being said today is not to beat you down, but to get you in a place where you are positioned to receive all of the best that God has for your life. It's time to get real about our relationship with Jesus. I want to go really quickly to chapter 5, verses 1 through 3 of Exodus. Compromise is always birthed from conceit. And we're looking here at Pharaoh in Egypt while Moses was doing what God told him to do, telling him that he needed to free the Israelites. Moses and Aaron addressed Pharaoh, saying that the Lord God of Israel demanded that Pharaoh let the Israelites go. And Pharaoh responds by saying, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let the Israelites go?" Pharaoh responds by, he says, "I do not know the Lord. Nor will I let Israel go." You know, Pharaoh was actually considered the second highest god in the land. He was not considered a king. He was actually considered to be the son of Ra, which was the god of the sun. And so he was seen as a god, and he considered himself a god. And so his unwillingness to compromise came from a place of conceit. We think sometimes that our ways are better than his. That we can, we're a find a way, make a way kind of people. And that we can handle this on our own. You don't have to handle this on your own. He already handled it for you on the cross with the blood-bought price that he paid for our lives. He already handled your sickness. He already handled your relationships. He already handled your success. He already handled your finances. He already handled your business. He already handled your children. He already took care of all of that. So why are you trying to take care of it on your own according to the world's standards? If you live according to the world's standards, then you get what the world has to offer. And I don't know about you, but I don't want a man work. I want a God work in my life. I want every powerful thing that God has to offer me. And I'm not willing to settle for anything less, which is that second definition of compromise, willing to settle for less than what is desired. And that's what we're doing by compromising the word of God in our lives. It's really interesting because if you look at Exodus chapter 7, verse 10, it says, so Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron cast down his staff before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh summoned his wise men and sorcerers, and they, the magicians of Egypt, also did the same thing by their secret arts. For each man cast down his staff, and they became serpents. But Aaron's staff swallowed up all of their staffs. Really, compromise is a counterfeit of the greatness that God has for you and your life. And it's interesting here because when he turned the Nile and all the waters to blood, those magicians were able to turn small amounts into blood as well. His changing into blood, Aaron's and Moses's changing into blood lasted 7 days. Theirs did not. Then the next thing that they did was they released frogs into the land. Well, those magicians had the ability to release frogs in the land as well. They did not have the ability to cast them out. That's where it ended. The next was lice. The next plague was lice. They couldn't bring lice up out of the dust of the earth. Because only God can bring life out of the dust of the earth. Every single plague that was brought against Egypt represented one of Egypt's gods. The frog, they actually had a frog god. When he turned the Nile to blood, the Nile was their source of life. When your source of life is not Jesus Christ, then God's going to pull down that source of life because he wants to be your source of life. You were created to live for him, to be dependent upon him, to desire him. Then we have flies. Flies were brought forth. Flies were actually one of the gods. The Egyptian god had a fly head. The death of the cattle and the livestock represented Hathor, an Egyptian goddess of love and protection. Ashes turning to boils and sores. That was the god of Isis, an Egyptian god of medicine and peace. So every single god that they revered and worshiped in their land, God brought down. And I want you to be aware, because if there are gods, if there are idols, or if there are things in your life that you have put in the place of God, then you need to pull them down before God does. Because I'd rather get myself right instead of having God having to step in and intervene because I was more willing to compromise with the world than to live right with Christ. Pull the idols and the false gods that you have in your life. They come in all shapes and sizes. Sometimes they come in the form of your finances. That's my God. I'm not willing to tithe. I'm not willing to sow. I'm not willing to do the things that I need to do because I don't even know how to do it. Compromise often comes from a place of fear. But perfect love casts out all fear. And fear is a demon. And I don't know about you today. I want to crush that devil's head. So everything that makes me afraid when it comes to serving God, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to place my fear on the altar. My finances are on the altar. Maybe it's a hobby or something that you have that you spend more time doing than you do in your word with Jesus. Can I just say Netflix? Yeah. Place it on the altar. Place it on the altar. Maybe it's your car. Maybe it's your car. You love your car. You're all about buying new things for your car. In fact, you can buy more new things for your car than you can pay your tithe. Whatever it is, place it on the altar. Come on. Maybe it's your time. You have time for everything under the sun, but to get in the face of Jesus every day. Put your time on the altar. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your family. And we're more willing to go camping on the weekends all summer long to be with our family than to be in the house of God seeking his face. Listen, there's nothing wrong with taking a vacation with your family. There's nothing wrong from having a great car. There is nothing wrong with having these hobbies and these things in your life. But when they become your God and you begin to compromise what you know God has called you to, then you're out of order. And lastly, of course, in my house, I'm going to choose the football. You know what's really interesting is that I've noticed that people are either absolutely for the Patriots or absolutely against the Patriots. People that were not Falcons fans yesterday, they are now. Because they want them to beat the pants off of the Patriots, right? I wish that the church would get as adamant about Jesus. I'm either for Jesus or I'm against Jesus. I'm either with Jesus or I'm not. The Word of God tells us that we are to be either hot or cold. In other words, love me or don't. Love me or don't. Because if you are lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. It says that there are many that will come to me and say, but Lord, Lord, I did this for you, and I did that for you. And he will say, flee from me, for I never knew you. We can say that we're Christians and identify as Christians, but until we truly stop compromising in our walk with God, we will never truly have the opportunity to minister from the pulpits that God wants for us. And we will never have the breakthroughs that we've been longing for and desiring. I'm going to have you bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm praying expectation that God is going to really work on your hearts and that you are going to make a decision today. Get in or get out. I'm all in or I'm not. Now, there are some of you that have never, ever experienced the love that God has for you. And you have thought in the past that loving Christ is all about rules and regulations. It's not about that. It's about making a change to accept God's best for our life instead of accepting what the world has to offer. This is about recognizing that God is the only one that can be the author and the perfecter of your faith. He knows your beginning from your end. It's about love. We obey because of our love for him. No more compromise. Some of us, our lives are a mess because we've allowed compromise to permeate every fabric of our lifestyle. If you have never made God truly the boss of your life, if you have never truly submitted and committed your life to him, this time is now. There is a sense of urgency in this place, in these times. God is coming back. Jesus will come to take the remnant of those that truly love him with him. There are some that truly will be left behind. We have to decide, Christians, will that be us? Those that don't know Christ. He longs for you, desires you. Even the fact that you're here today, that was God's plan. He has nothing but goodness and mercy for you all the days of your life. So if you have never asked God to be your Savior, if you have never asked God to be the boss of your life and given yourself over to Him and every benefit that comes with the cross, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Giving your life to Christ. Five, I'm going to count down. Four, three, two, one. I see you. I see you. Hallelujah. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to do a spiritual inventory, those of you that already know Christ. Are there things in your life that you have compromised on? And I'm going to invite you to take that thing. Maybe you have something that signifies that thing in your pocket, in your purse, in your coat, whatever it is. If you have that thing, I'm going to ask you to bring that with you. Even if you don't have it, I'm going to invite you to come on up. And if you have that thing, you're going to place it on the altar. And if you don't have that thing, you're going to place yourself on the altar. So if you need to rectify the compromises that you've made with Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask you to get right up out of your seats. Come right on up and place yourself at the altar. Thank you. Thank you. Praise you, Jesus. Come on right up and place yourself on the altar. There is a sense of urgency in this place. We don't want to walk out of here and regret that we did not take the steps necessary to get things right with the Lord this morning. He's here to meet with you. Thank you, Jesus. Blessings, blessings. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. You're just going to rectify this between you and Jesus. Asking for forgiveness, newness, a fresh outpouring of His Spirit in a way that you've never experienced before. Those of you that have decided to come to the altar, you're saying, Lord, I'm positioning myself for every great abundance that comes with the benefits of being a king's kid. And I will not compromise, and I will not settle for any less. If you just raised your hand to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never done it before. No compromise, right? I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat and come on forward. You're going to come right up here and meet with me. And I'm going to lead you to Jesus Christ, the best friend you will ever have. Heavenly Father, we praise you and worship you. You are King over all kings. Lord, we love you. We love your word. We love the plan that you have for our lives, Lord. Father, continue to remind us not to allow compromises in our life, to not sacrifice anything over to the enemy, but in all things to lay them at your feet. We give ourselves as a living sacrifice and every part of who we are in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be dismissed.